differently than he does the lost when it comes to judging our sins. And I'm going to do it by giving you an example of a time it happened, how God judged saints differently than he does sinners. And you'll understand, you'll get it in just a minute, but let's pray before we read. Father, help us tonight. We do thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, your goodness toward us. And Lord, just by your grace, we're even saved or kept or blessed. And Lord, I pray more grace on us tonight. Meet with us here, enlighten us, speak to us, motivate us, move us, correct us, whatever we need, God. We look for whatever we need. We want what we need, Lord. We're not running from it, we're running to it. So help us, Lord, and let us leave better than what we were when we came in. I don't know, on Sunday night we usually don't have lost people, but if someone is lost here tonight, I pray it would open their eyes also. And whatever's done, we'll say Jesus did it. And we'll give him all the glory and all the honor because we ask it in his name. Amen. Deuteronomy 32, verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up. Man, ain't that something to tell somebody? And be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Or, and he was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give unto the children of Israel. Now turn over a couple of pages, chapter 34. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. Now I want you to turn over, if you will. Let's turn over, Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. And we'll start with verse 8. We'll read 8, 11, and 12. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and I and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And then my text verses are, And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses, I would say, if you go to the Jew and you say, Name me some of the greatest men in the Old Testament. Here's what I believe they would say. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. Moses was one of the greatest men that ever lived. And yet, in a moment of anger, he disobeyed God. Just one moment of anger, he disobeyed God. And he turned around and he said, "Must we," talking about him and Aaron, "you bunch of rebels, must we bring water out of this rock for you?" And he struck it twice. And God didn't tell him to say that, and God didn't tell him to strike it twice. God just said, "Strike it." And because of that one time of disobedience, and some people wouldn't even say it was disobedience. They would say that he didn't completely obey the Lord. But that's disobedience. He was judged by God himself. And the judgment was, you will lead them, but you and your brother will not accompany them into the land that I promised. And that land that for 40 years you wandered around out there. And by the way, they were never more than 2 weeks away from the promised land. But they were so blinded because of their sin, God allowed them to be blinded. And they wandered around in a big old circle for 40 years till all that generation died off. And they didn't get to go. But Moses and Aaron could have went. They could have went. But they disobeyed God. But God didn't cast them off. He chastened them. Because when you get to the New Testament, if you remember the story, Jesus and the disciples were on the mount, and he told them to wait down there, and he went up. And when he got up, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. Who appeared on the mountain with Jesus, transfigured, changed into a bright, shining thing? Help me, class. Who appeared up there? Moses was there. So that tells me Moses didn't get cast off. God didn't cast him into hell. And some people say, well, he didn't go into the promised land. The promised land was a physical place, not a spiritual place. And God took him to heaven. I want to tell you just a few minutes about this, how God treats saints and sinners differently. Now, thank God, he found me and you one day, and he lifted us up, he saved us, he put us on the solid rock. He did that, Brother Bill. We didn't do that. And he keeps us. We don't do that. He keeps us. We don't have the power to keep us. He keeps us. But when and if, or when and we will, sin and disobey God, God doesn't treat us the way he did when we were lost and going to hell. He treats us as children. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. Just two verses in Hebrews chapter 12 and I'll go on with it. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verses 5 and 6 if you will. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, God treated Moses in a different way than he would have treated Pharaoh. We got proof of that. Pharaoh was drowned with his army. And I know that movie, The Ten Commandments, is a wonderful movie and it's inspired us all. But if you'll remember, whenever Pharaoh's army got drowned, Pharaoh was left standing up, sitting on the side in his chariot, on the side of the ocean, looking at the ocean fall in on all his men. He didn't drown. But in the Bible, he drowned with his men. And God treated Pharaoh different. Then he treated Moses because Pharaoh was not his. Pharaoh belonged to some false gods. So I got thinking about this. Moses served 40 years and obeyed. 40 years Moses served God faithfully and he disobeyed that we know of purposely. I'm sure other time he probably did things by mistake. But this time purposely he disobeyed God. And this one time caused him not to be allowed to go into the promised land, but He was allowed to go up Mount Nebo, and he was allowed to look at the promised land. Now, he didn't get to go in there, but he was allowed to look. Now, I want you to think about Moses' life. Think about this. Three parts of Moses' life. Number one, he grew up in Pharaoh's house, training to be a king. Training to be an Egyptian king. Moses was. He was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. He was raised like an Egyptian. He was dressed like an Egyptian. Fortunately, he was very educated like the Egyptians were. The Hebrews were not educated. The Egyptians were greatly educated. They're very intelligent people. Go back and read the history of the Egyptians. Very powerful people because they were so intelligent. And Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house as the child of a king. 40 years. Until he found out that he was a Hebrew. And he went out among those Hebrews one day and he saw how the Egyptians treated the Hebrews and he saw them beating them up and he ran over there to rescue one and he killed one of the Pharaoh's men, you remember that? Defending a Hebrew. Buried him, thinking nobody'd ever find his body. Buried him, got caught, and fled. Then for 40 years, he lived out in the wilderness as a sheep herder for another man. He ended up marrying that man's daughter. But for 40 years, he lived out there on the backside of nowhere, and most of the time, he spent alone with those sheep, and I believe with God. Now, the first 40 years he spent being educated, learning how to think and plan and learning decisive thinking because the Egyptians were very intelligent people. And for 40 years he was educated in the ways of the world and things of the world, and he got very intelligent. And then for 40 years he had to spend out there alone with God in the wilderness with those sheep. And I believe with God. I believe that 40 years God began to speak to him. And by the way, remember he married that girl and her daddy, the Bible says he was a priest. Yep. Now he wasn't a Hebrew. He wasn't a Hebrew priest. But we tend to forget there were other believers in the world beside the Hebrews that traced their origin back to Noah. Y'all still with me? And they worshiped the right God. But God had not chosen them to be his particular race to bring his son through. His father-in-law was, matter of fact, later on, his father-in-law helped him and gave him advice, spiritual advice. And so here's Moses. 40 years he lived like a king. 40 years he lived like a beggar out there with the sheep and God. And I believe between his daddy-in-law and God himself, he learned spiritual things in that wilderness. And by the way, that's where you're going to learn them too. Up on the mountain, you don't learn spiritual things. You just have fun. Amen? Up there, oh boy, I wish we could be on the mountaintop all the time. No, sir, you don't learn nothing up there. You just rejoice up there. It's down in the valley and out there in the wilderness where you learn how to put up with stuff and live with stuff. Amen? And that's where he was, 40 years. And then, for 40 more years, can y'all add that up? 40. For 40, you got it. For 40 more years, God had chosen him and groomed him out there in that wilderness and made a great leader out of him. And then for the next 40 years, God led the biggest crowd of people through a wilderness that had ever been led on planet Earth. By then, the Hebrew people were at least 2 million from what everything I can read. Some say 3 million. There was at least 2 million people. And here's this guy that was raised as an Egyptian king's kid. Then got cast out. He lived that way for 40 years. Then he got cast out, lived in the wilderness for 40 years, and lived with the sheep for 40 years. No books, no nothing, just him and God. And now, for the last 40 years of his life, he's 80 years old. 80. And he leads the greatest group of people that's ever followed a man through a wilderness. That's his life. I'd say that was a great testimony, wouldn't you? Yep. I'd say that That was a man of great faith, wouldn't you? Go back and read his story. You're not going to find anybody with no more faith other than Abraham, I don't think. But that's his life story. It's in three parts. 40 years training by Pharaoh, being educated, being cultured. And then 40 years tending the sheep of a man that was not an Egyptian nor Hebrew, but he was a believer. And then God sent him back, and for 40 years, he leads some of the most complaining, crying. They had to be Baptists in the history of the world. Well, it's too hot. Well, it's too cold. He preaches too long. He didn't preach long enough. Well, he preaches over my head. He preaches too simple. The pew's too hard. No, they're too soft. Oh, this water ain't sweet enough. Give me some water out of that rock, you know, whatever. But he was, hey, that's his life. Divide up in, now, some of you barely make 40. Maybe not. Some of you don't even make 40. And you think you're already used up. God just starting with you. And then some of you's pushing 80. Not me, I'm just 64. I'm a betweener. I ain't a teen, I'm a tween. Amen? I'm a betweener. But you're getting up there in age and you think you're too old. No, sir, you ain't too old. And listen, Moses didn't die sick. Go back and read it. He was in good health when God led him up that mountain and laid him to rest and took him to heaven. He was in good health. And listen, it could have been God really wasn't through with him. I looked at Mama today, and those people in the hospital, you know, they say, man, 99, wow, what a blessing, 99. And I said, well, don't say that like that's the end. I'm not ready for it to go yet. She ain't through with me. She's still raising me. Amen. That woman said, oh, she's such a sweet woman. I said, you ain't never been on the other side of that hickory. I said, that woman beat you like a man. I hate it when people come to me and say, well, I done my time. I'm too old to serve the Lord. No, you done got too worldly to serve the Lord. Dr. Jack Hiles, one of my heroes, said, when he was in Texas, had a little country church, said one Sunday this old gray-haired fellow walked in. He was in his 80s. He said after church, said all during the service, he said, amen, preacher, amen. Praise God, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Park it right there, preacher. Park it right there. And then when he left, he came a few times. He said, pastor, would you mind if I join your church? Would you mind if I join your church? Old preacher, old retired preacher. And he said, no, I'd be honored to have you. He said, went and bought him a rocking chair and put it up there on the platform with him. Let the old man sit. He was a retired preacher. And said, I'd preach. He said, amen, preacher. Preach it, preach it, preacher, preacher. Party right there, preacher. Go ahead, preacher. He said, he don't know how much he inspired me in my preaching. He said, and then about every Monday morning, he'd come see me. He'd say, how you doing, pastor? How you doing? He said, I'm doing good. He said, and every Monday morning, he'd say, Pastor Jack, let me tell you something stupid I did when I was a young preacher. Let me tell you something stupid I did when I was a young preacher. And said he'd tell me exactly what I did the day before. He ain't never too old to help people. Amen. Right, yeah. Said he got to missing him and he couldn't find him. He wasn't at home. Said one day he got a call from the hospital and said, is this Pastor Jack? And he said, well, that's what people call me. He said, well, there's an old fellow down here. He don't know his name. He don't know where he's from. He has no memory. All he keeps saying is, call Pastor Jack. Call Pastor Jack. He said, I went down there, and when I walked in the room, you know, I was crying. They told me it was going to pass, you know, and I went in the room and started. He said, hey, preacher, did they tell you? He said, yeah, what? He said, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus any minute, going to see Jesus. Praise God, preacher, praise God. He said, old man, praise God till he took his last breath. 80-something years old. Now, you sit around here and you act like, well, God can't use me no more. I've sinned. Join the club. Yep. I've failed the Lord. If you can, We all have. But I really don't think, Ken, I don't think God had any expectations of you to begin with, because He knew you were made out of dirt, and He knew what you'd do after He saved you. You didn't surprise God. God didn't wake up when you was 40 or 80 or 120 and say, uh-oh, didn't know they was going to do that. He knew what you were before you were ever formed. He knew what you were going to do. And He saved you anyway. And He kept you anyway. And He blessed you anyway. And He used you anyway. And I don't think you can never, ever, ever, ever not be used of God.
Amen.
Now, I've known preachers that their wife run off and leave them. We used to have one right here. His wife run off and left him for another man, and he quit going to church, and I went to see him, and it took me forever to get to see him. And finally, I had to send him an email, and he sent me an email, and I said, I miss you, I need you. You helped me start this church, and you're doing such a good job. And he said, you don't know what happened. I said, I don't care what happened. He said, yeah, but my wife ran off for another man, and that's all kinds of stuff about that. And then he said, so I can't preach anymore. I can't be used of God anymore. I sent him a note, and I said, I'm happy to say you are wrong. Number one, you're not run off one that ran off and left. She was. I said, number two, God can use anybody.
That's right.
Amen. We got a bunch of them Baptist kind. Listen, a lot of preachers, they'll... and look, preachers are just people. Deacons are just people. Sunday school teachers are just people. It may be you do something that you can't serve the Lord in the particular position that you're in now, but He still told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't care if you married 25 times. He still told you to go into the world and preach the gospel. I don't care if you've been to jail and got out twice. He still told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You can still win people to Christ. You can still encourage other Christians. You can still keep people out of hell. You can go down to jail and preach. You can go over to nursing home and preach or sing or testify or teach the Bible. Just because there's a position in the church you can't hold anymore, that doesn't mean that God's through with you.
That's right. Come on, bro.
People get that so messed up. I really think they just use it for an excuse sometimes. This shows us a lot about God. Number one, it tells us about His judgment. He has to judge sin. God did not overlook. When He died, what did He say about Moses? Moses, my servant, is dead. He honored Moses even after he was dead. When Moses sinned, God had to judge that sin. Just because it's me and you, that doesn't mean that we can get out of it.
That's right.
You say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Amen, you are. But He's still going to judge your sin on the way.
Right.
And every sin you do is going to be judged on the way. And you'll either be chasing for it here or lose rewards there. It didn't matter if it was Moses. It doesn't matter if it's you or your mama or your grandma. God's character is holy and pure and perfect, and He has to judge sin. Nobody is going to take sin into heaven. God's got to do something. And people act so nonchalantly about that, and I say, look, it's a serious matter. That's what killed His son. Sin. That's why He was nailed to the cross. The Bible says that He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That's a serious matter to sin. Wilt not, wilt not, wilt not. But when we do, and if we do, we'll own up to it.
Yes.
And then take whatever God brings our way.
Amen.
Take your whipping.
Right.
Yep. Go through it. Get over it. And go on and serve God some more.
Amen.
God's a God of judgment. He's a God of justice. He is just in all His dealings. He will not treat you one way and you another way when it comes to sin or rebellion or anything else. Nobody's getting off with a lighter chastisement or judgment than anybody else. You see, we get full of ourself I think that day Moses got full of himself. He had a lot to be proud of. Look what he's been. Look what he's gone through. Look what he did. He had a lot to be proud of. I mean sinfully proud. And I believe that day he had it. He did it. He got sinfully proud. And he fussed at those people like God told him not to. Didn't even tell him to do. And he struck that rock twice like he was the one bringing the water out. He could have struck it once like God said. And no doubt God did that. But God's just. That's his quality. Number three, God's merciful. Now he can be judgmental and be just and still be merciful. Why is it that people put God in a box? He's either all judgment or all mercy. Why can't he be a little bit of both? He was with Moses. He judged him. He said, now because you did this, you're not going in the promised land. But I got news for you. I'm going to let you see it. And then I'm the one that's going to put you to sleep. And I'm the one that'll preach your funeral. And I'm the one that'll bury you. And ain't nobody else having nothing to do it because you belong 100% to me. Amen. Wouldn't you like to have God preach your funeral? Amen. Have the angels of glory standing around and say, Moses was a good man. I loved him. Amen. And so, he does judge. He is just. He has mercy. He will never, listen to me, he will never bring judgment without mercy. Go read the Bible. Everywhere he judged anybody, a nation, a group of people, or individuals, if you look at it real good, you'll see they really didn't get what they deserved. He waited a long time to do it. They didn't deserve that. Or he didn't do all of them at one time. They didn't deserve that. Or either he didn't do it quick as he should have, like me and you, we'd just chop their heads off. Excuse me. And then listen. His other quality is this, his love. Now, he loved Moses. That's why he didn't cast him off. And when he adopts us into his family, that's because he loves us. He didn't adopt you because you deserve to be adopted. There's nobody deserves to be adopted by God. Nobody. Nobody deserves his mercy. But because he loves us, and as his children, he loves us in a special way. Even when he brings judgment and justice, he'll bring mercy through his love.
Amen.
We'll never get what we really deserve. Then I want you to notice this. His patience. How old was Moses when he died? 120 years. 120 years. You think Moses never had done anything wrong in 120 years? You think that Moses had never sinned in 120 years? You think he never taken a lamb down to the tabernacle and had the priest offer it up for his filthy sins? I know he was a murderer. He killed a man. I know he was. I know he was a liar. He told God he couldn't speak. So God told him, well, if you can't speak, I'll send your brother. And his brother spake one time, and from then on, Moses did all the talking. He lied. He could speak. And God had mercy. And he showed it, listen, by his patience. Now, he'd been patient with me. I don't know about you. But boy, he's been patient with me. And I am glad God is a patient God. If he wasn't, he'd have killed me a long time. I wouldn't have lasted 2 weeks after he saved me. Amen? Come on, some of y'all ought to be shouting right now. Amen. He's patient. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He could have killed me before I ever got saved. He'd have been just and right and holy to do it. than after I got saved. Several times he could have just struck me dead and been just and holy and right to do it. But he's patient and he waited. And listen, we need to learn some of these things. We need to have some of these characteristics ourselves. When I first got saved, it was turning on a light. It was a new life. It was everything the Bible says. I had a new mind, and I had a new heart, and I had a new spirit. And I'd run around and tell people, and I couldn't understand why they couldn't see it. If I could see it, dumb as I am, I kept thinking, dumb as I am, if I can see this, why can't you see this? You don't want to see it.
Right, come on, brother.
That's what we would say. But it might not be true. Boy, I'd have cast them off in hell right then. But later on, I found out that God's not like that. And he was patient with them. And some of those people got saved. And some of them started living for God. And we need to start doing that to people, folks. And that's one thing about this crowd right here. I will say they're merciful and they're patient. Everybody comes here doesn't look right. Everybody comes here doesn't live right. Everybody comes here doesn't exactly do right. But listen, you keep praying, you keep teaching, you keep loving, you have patience with them. Don't cast them off yet, because, hey, if we do that, God might cast us off. Amen? Because he should have us. Be patient with people. Here's the way I look at it. I was talking to this old mean preacher the other day. Mean. Cowboy belt.
I know.
He talks to you up like this right here. I don't have a lisp and I don't spit, but I wanted one. So I back up. He'd keep talking, I keep backing up. But I'll tell you what you'll get if you get that way. Your church will go from 50 to 6. And the only ones that stay with you is those that have to, because they're kin to you. Amen.
Yeah.
If you help them pay the rent, they'll come to church with you.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got a crowd here that's patient with people. I can go a long way with somebody if they're headed in the right direction. I don't expect everybody to be as mature as I am. I've been in this thing a while. Come on.
Yes, sir.
But if a man or woman's headed in the right direction, they may still have some old habits or something that they're hanging on to and they're trying to work through. Come on, help me.
That's right.
Amen. Everybody don't spit white.
That's right.
Everybody here knows what I'm talking about now. Listen, everybody don't pray like they ought to yet. Everybody doesn't read the Bible like they ought to yet. Everybody doesn't witness like they ought to yet. I'm going to tell you something else. Just because they got saved don't mean all of a sudden they paid their bills when they didn't before they got saved. Boy, did somebody say, huh? Just because they got saved, hey, it doesn't mean they're a good employee when they wasn't the day before they got saved. These are things you have to learn and grow into. And thank God he's a patient God. Amen. Poor old Moses. God judged him. He did it justly, but he had mercy, and he did it with love, and he'd had patience with him. 120 years of patience. And then he had to die. But you know what I think God did? I think God pronounced the judgment and then he looked. I think God looked back and saw. 120 years this man stuck to the stuff. 120 years he's been my servant. 120 years and for 40 of those years he's put up with this crowd back here that I wanted to cast off into hell two or three times, and he talked me out of it.
That's right.
So I'm not going to do to him what I would do to Pharaoh. I'm going to lovingly take this man and show him the promised land that he was going to, because he wants the children of Israel to go, and then I'm going to lay him down I'm going to lay him down. Now we look at that and we think that's sad. Well, my goodness, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Ain't that a terrible punishment? 120 years and then you have to die and go to heaven. That sounds like something your grandpa would do, not your daddy. Amen. Amen. And so, I'll finish it up. Listen to me. He judged him different than he did Pharaoh and his people. He didn't let Moses suffer. There was no sickness. There was no continual cough. There was no cancerous cells to slowly eat him away. There was no emphysema. He just laid down. He didn't suffer. And he died. Is that not the way we all want to go? Amen. I sit there today, my mom was coughing. She's got that real high temperature from the... But they said it's not septic, like I'm supposed to know what that means. Yes, she don't have blood poisoning. But I thought to myself, I said, Lord, when my mama goes, I sure wish you'd let her go in her sleep. And that's what Moses did. He laid him down and he went to sleep. No suffering, no sickness, no pain, no heartache. And then God buried him. Nobody dug his grave. God did. Do you know why that happened? Because Moses was such a great man that if he'd have died among the children of Israel, they'd have took his bones like they did Joseph, and they'd worshipped his bones. And they'd build a tabernacle around those bones, and they'd had services around those bones. There's a lot of churches like that. It's built around dead bones of people that did things in the past, great things for God. And the people that are there now, they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping those people of the past, their bones. If I die before you do, and I have no plan to, I got funeral sermons lined up for most of you. He's excited about it. Never name a church Roddy Memorial Baptist Church. The day you put a man's name on it, or woman's, and put memorial on it, it becomes a coffin full of dead men's bones. And God's not getting the glory anymore. Somebody else is. As long as I'm pastor, your name will never be on anything around here, and mine won't either.
Amen.
I remember I took a church. Well, I didn't really take it. I gave them 90 days trial up in Clover one time. I told them I wasn't charismatic. They wouldn't believe it until I preached about 4 weeks. And I started taking names off of stuff. They had names on everything. I'd accidentally knock them off. Just be walking by, you know, and knock it off. Had names on everything. Had name, and the fellowship hall had somebody's name on it. And I thought, well, that was a nice thing to do. But that woman of that husband that he's named after, she's still here, and she runs the place. God buried Moses. Nobody knows where he's buried. Nobody ever found his bones. God did that. Do you think that's a punishment or a reward? That's a reward. Amen? Amen. I have preachers tell me they like for me to preach funerals for their people because they're not good at funerals. I think, boy, I'd like to get God to preach my funeral. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And look, in Jude 9, and I'm not going to read it, it says that the angels were there and they guarded it. Is that a punishment? I'd say if it is, it's a very light one. Amen? Hurry, I done run out of time, I know. Did you know he didn't get to go over that mount into the promised land, but he got to go over that mount into the promised land? Dr. Martin Luther King preached that sermon. I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land. It had nothing to do with this. Really, it had nothing to do with this. But I've not been to that mountaintop. And I've not looked over into the promised land. But I'll tell you this, when it comes my time to die, I don't think you're going to die without Him giving you some glimpses of glory.
Amen?
Amen? I believe it when people say, D.L. Moody, one of the greatest preachers ever lived, they say that he won over 1 million people to the Lord. He was at a meeting preaching, and he had a heart attack. He was young. He was in his early 50s or late 40s or something. But he had a heart attack. And they put him on a train to take him back to Chicago to the hospital, and he had another heart attack. And they would shoot adrenaline into his heart and get it beating again. After the second time, he told his wife, he said, "Honey, don't let them do that again." He said they had a daughter that died when she was a little girl. He called her name. He said, "I saw her. She's beautiful, baby. She's beautiful. I saw her." And he named the other people he saw. He said, "Do not let them do that to me again." So that night, over in the morning, as he was laying there, he began to have another heart attack. They all rushed in there. They wanted to do something. She wouldn't let him. And he said, "I see heaven descending, and I am ascending." And he quit breathing. I really believe drugs, narcotics that they fill us with before we die, cloud our spiritual sight and our brain so bad that you don't hear those testimonies like you used to. I really believe that. I mean, man, they'll put you on so much morphine. You see critters crawling and everything else. You have but you'll never hear a good hallucination. They're always bad. And you know that little bit of suffering, I think it might be worth a little bit of suffering to get to see a little bit of glory, don't you? And who knows, you may not even suffer. He didn't. Moses didn't suffer. He went to a better promised land. You know what I want to do? I want to love Him. I want to serve Him to such a degree that when the time comes for God to chasten me, He does it with the grace and the mercy and the patience that He did with Moses. And it's going to happen. We're all going to be chastened sometime. But I'm talking about a chastening of this degree. I wasn't saved long. They asked me to go to a man. I wouldn't call his name. Wanted me to go sit with him over at the old Rock Hill Hospital. He was dying of cancer. I went over there, and I'd never seen him but twice at church. He really didn't have a good testimony, but people bragged about him. You know, he gave lots of money, and he was in a big family that really had a lot to do in the church. I didn't know him. I went over there, and he was so... Back then, they didn't give morphine to you like they do now. I really think they overdose you sometime now. But he lay there and he was groaning and moaning. He never opened his eyes. He never looked at me. And I watched that man suffer for hours and hours. And then I left, and that night he died. And I wondered why. I said, why would God let a man that was a member of a church and he was a Christian, why would He let us suffer like that? Well, later on I learned he had a terrible testimony. He had a terrible testimony. And I think sometimes when people are dying, it may be that God has brought judgment. But if it's a saint of God, you'll always see somewhere in that judgment and somewhere in that suffering, you'll see the grace of God come in. And before they die, you'll see how God has mercy. Now we're all going to die. Well, y'all, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in rapture, I'm telling you. Hang around, you'll see. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody dies because they're being chastened, but it means we die. The sin that's in us eventually is going to kill us. We're dying every day. You know those dust bunnies under your bed? They tell me that's skin. That's what they say, that's skin. Said most of the dust around our house, that layer of skin, every day you've got skin dying and falling off and dying and being regenerated and falling off and dying and being regenerated every day. But as you get older, the regeneration process doesn't work as good. So your skin gets thin. It gets real thin and it cracks easier and it bleeds easier because you're losing cells and they're not being regenerated. We're all dying. Max Factor can't stop it. Avon can't stop it. You're in good hands with Allstate, can't stop it. But when I die, I want God to be there when I die. I want His power and His presence. Now I have seen the promised land through this book. I've seen it. But that day, I'm going over the mountain to the other side. Because God has had mercy on me. I've not got what I deserve. Amen? Now when I was a lost sinner, He'd just kill me and cast me into hell. That'd been it. But not now. Thank God. Amen? Moses, my servant, is dead. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God.